I put all my hope in the Lord. He leaned down to me. He listened to my cry for help. He lifted me out of the pit of death, out of the mud and filth, and set my feet on solid rock. He steadied my legs. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise for our God. Many people will learn of this and be amazed, and they will trust in the Lord. Those who put their trust in the Lord, who pay no attention to the proud or to those who follow lies, are truly happy. You, Lord, my God, you've done many things. Your wonderful deeds and your plans for us, no one can compare with you. If I were to proclaim and to talk about all of them, they would be too numerous to count. You don't relish sacrifices or offerings. You don't require entirely burnt offerings or compensation offerings, but you have given me ears. So I said, here I come. I'm inscribed in the written scroll. I want to do your will, my God. Your instruction is deep within me. I've told the good news of your righteousness in the great assembly. I didn't hold anything back, as you well know, Lord. I didn't keep your righteousness only to myself. I declared your faithfulness in your salvation. I didn't hide your loyal love and trustworthiness from the great assembly. So now you, Lord, don't hold back any of your compassion from me. Let your loyal love and faithfulness always protect me, because countless evils surround me. This is God's word for God's people.
Well, good morning, everyone. Chris is so much taller than I am. Okay. I am absolutely thankful and honored to be in this space with you guys. Even before I came here today, I was, you know, people are always asking at work, you know, what are you doing this weekend? You know, what are your plans? And I told them I was coming here to preach, and they're like, what church is that? What kind of church is that? Is it a black church? Is what, you know, because they ask, because they don't know. And I said, it's church. And so, of course, you know, they're like, let's just look it up, because, you know, there's a computer around everyone in a nurse's station. So, you know, there's, you know, looking it up, like, oh my gosh. And I'd never been on the Oak Church's website before, but I was absolutely amazed and astounded by what I saw on the website. Just when, you know, when you go other places, sometimes you have to kind of fish and find the what we believe statements, and, you know, it can get kind of murky. But not with Oak Church, you know, and it was very much like, we believe in the kingdom of God, and however you are in this kingdom, we welcome you. Just how God made you, we welcome you. Just how you identify yourself, we welcome you. You know, I was like, oh, that is so wonderful. You know, it's nice when you tell somebody you're going somewhere and you don't have to cringe when they look it up. And so I appreciate that greatly. I have not always been invited to places. I found out later, I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have told them that. But one thing that I said about the Oak Church was that I said, it's not like, you know, the stereotypical hipster gentrifier type of vibe, you know, where they just sort of come in and bulldoze everything that was. And I said, they care about Durham, you know, and honor what has been as they walk toward what will be. And so then to come here and see like this tapestry, you know, of Durham. I'm sorry, by the way, I'm from Durham. Call myself one of the last living natives, because I know that there aren't many people, you know, who are from Durham that you meet. You know, they're generally from somewhere else. And so when I see this, I was like, I see NC Mutual, and I see Lucky Strike, and, you know, and all these things and all these places. And, you know, it brings me joy in a very humbling way. It really does. And so that's a little bit of my past week. As Chris said, I am a member of a Baptist church in town. But my work, the work that my soul must have, the work that I am called to do, is at Duke Regional Hospital, which is a little bit farther up to the north side of town, where I have been for the last, it'll be 10 years next month. And I work with palliative care, which means that I work with people who are at a crossroads or at a decision point where they have to decide, or when they can't add, oh my gosh, there's a disco ball right there. I'm sorry, it's just, I was like, all right, yes. I'm so sorry. I'm easily distracted. The squirrel in me just says, disco ball. But where the people I work with, you know, they decide when they can't add days to a life, how do they add life to their days? You know, finding the best of the rest of the time that they have. You know, what matters the most? And so I get the honor and the privilege of walking alongside people and families, patients and families and staff as they make these decisions every day. So along with the work I do alongside Chris, Pastor Chris, with theological reflection, that's pretty much what I do. But also I have a family here as well. My dear mother, my father is gone to be with the Lord, and I have a 28-year-old daughter named Morgan, who is a wonderfully weird person who I learn from each and every day. And she teaches not very far from here at Lakewood Elementary. So we love this area. We love Durham. So that's a little bit of my present of what I do. And any bios you may read online, you know, give highlights. But here's my backstory, religiously, I guess. I grew up Pentecostal holiness, charismatic, which gives a picture in one's mind of lively services, up-tempo music maybe, dancing, speaking in unknown tongues, running around, you know, maybe taming snakes, I don't know, and the like. And you would be correct in many of those things. But the part of the service that I'd like to highlight for our time today is called to some a devotional service, but to others and more mainstream, it's called testimony service. And so testimony service is where many will stand and tell how the Lord has blessed them over the course of a week, sometimes punctuated either before or after with a song of praise. Members would share a trial that they had endured or how the Lord brought them out of something, from car problems to doctor's reports to things, you know, job situations. Short story. In my rural United Methodist Church field ed during seminary, we had a similar but different portion called Joys and Concerns. A parishioner and their family shared the good news of the arrival of a pet goat. So, you know, so I mean, people testify in different ways of gifts that the Lord has brought. No matter the story shared, like any good sermon, the Lord is always the hero of the story. But what made it great was how the congregation praised with the member, no matter how big or how small, because it was a place for the individual as well as a place for the community to participate. And I'll give you a short, very short, demonstration. sorry. Time is filled with swift transition. Not on earth unmoved shall stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You better hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Giving honor to God, who's the head of... appreciate that. But giving honor to God, who's head of my life, I am thankful to be here today. The week has been good, but the last 24 hours have been long. The reason why I sing the song about swift transition is because yesterday I lost a dear friend. I lost a classmate who was just beginning what I felt like was a good season of life. He was pastoring a church. He felt like they could grow together. He and his wife, who's also a classmate, just good people. And they have four little kids, and my heart aches for them. And just like that happened, I know that life is filled with so many swift transitions. Commercial says life comes at you fast, you know. And in this season, you know, I pray that they hold on to what matters most, and that they, along with their church community, that they will find comfort where none can be found. And so even though my heart is heavy, my heart is also full. Because even in the midst of my sorrow, in the midst of my questions, in the midst of, oh Lord, what in the world is going on? How can we have a world that has some in it and others not? But still, in those moments, I hold to God's unchanging hand. And I hope that you will help me hold on to the Lord. Thanks be to God. So that's just a demonstration on how we testify in the church that I grew up in. And so I think the art of testimony is something that can really not only help us as individuals, but lift us up as a community. And so Psalm 40 is what's called a composite psalm. It's called a blending of psalms. And the reason why it's seen as a composite is because technically the order is wrong. Thanksgiving usually comes, you know, before the lament instead of the other way around. In this particular psalm, Thanksgiving comes before the lament instead of the other way around, where the lament comes and then it always ends on a high note. But too often in our world, we kind of discount the validity of something when the order is different. You know, surely those verses don't come from the same source. It's in the wrong order. What does that mean, the wrong order? How many times do we push aside or we denigrate the thing that seems unorthodox? One of these things is doing his own thing. Doesn't flow the way the other psalms flow. So its uniqueness almost becomes its disqualifier. But church, how many know that God speaks so loudly through things that don't look like they belong together? You know, it looks different, but it works. Thanks be to God. And so we come to this blended psalm today in our lectionary reading. And most often when I visit lectionary-based churches or participate in lectionary-based services, the emphasis is generally on the gospel. And the psalm is either responsively read or it's sung, if it's mentioned at all. But today, the song is the message. You know, so we come to this mixed-up psalm of praise, thanksgiving, lament, and longing. Our reading today takes us square into the throes of life and offers nuggets for each of us to glean and to be encouraged by. And so he says, so the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. You know, one thing this psalm tells us is the importance of, I'm sorry, am I not doing that right? I didn't know. It was starting to move on me. I was trying to move. I was trying to go with the flow, but, you know, I didn't know. Okay. So after a while, I was like, okay, all right, we're going to keep on going. Okay. But one important thing about this psalm, or one nugget we can glean, is the importance of personal testimony. You know, it is important for us to remember and to recount all the wonderful things that God has done for us. You know, sometimes we have to rehearse, especially in the times we are now living in. We have to remember, oh, that's right, that's right. There are good people in this world. Yes, it's okay, okay. God is still here. God is still with us. People are still good. There are people who care, you know. And so this psalmist is rehearsing. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard me. And God heard my cry, and he drew me up, from a desolate pit out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock. But another thing that the psalm brings out is the importance of lament, and that lament has its place. So in my work and in my training, I have had to learn and to share with others the power of community lament. I know in my particular context, as an African American and many others, we shy away from placing a spotlight on lament. You know, we're just like, you know what, let's just skip over all the sad stuff and let's just jump to the happy. We acknowledge it exists, but we don't lift it up. We have a hard time lifting it up. Or, well, we definitely don't make it the focal point of any program, or even for too long within our service offerings. One time when I was writing a reflection during my residency, my supervisor came to me and said, "You're going too fast." I was like, "What do you mean I'm going too fast?" You know, I talked about a time where I dealt with sadness, but I was, you know, but I was coming out of it. I was coming through, and things were, you know, things were getting better, and I was making my way. And my supervisor said, "Wait a minute. Let's just sit here for a minute. Do you know how hard it is to sit in that? But it's worth it. Because if we don't sit in it sometimes, if we don't allow ourselves to ever feel the sadness, you know, and let it wash over us for a minute, we don't really get to understand where the joy comes from. We don't really get to understand, really, that in that pit, just like the psalmist talked about, in that low place, God was there. We so want to jump out of the pit and onto the, you know, and up the mountain. We don't talk about those times. We don't want to think about or share those times where it just wasn't good. Sometimes we just kind of have to let something be broke for a minute. Just let it be broken. Just for a minute. Just for a little while. You know, and so my supervisor told me that I ran to Easter Sunday so quickly that Friday and Saturday, they didn't get any attention. They were just merely steps toward the resurrection. And so sometimes, just in these psalms, just in our life, our lives together, we have to acknowledge the heavy sometimes. We have to acknowledge, you know, the rain, you know, the seasons that we're in, the cold, the dark, because those seasons prepare us. Those seasons help us grow, even with, you know, flowers or things that we're growing, you know, whether it's food or floral. It needs those dreary seasons to build up, to prepare us for the times of harvest. So we can't bypass lament or grief, because we have to fully express our longings and our losses before we can fully understand the victory. Because there are little things we lose along the way that shape our journeys, not just the big things. And so community praise should be as loud as community lament, and both should be welcome. The Lord is saying through these verses, keep that same energy. I know that you have needs. I just need you to praise with the same energy that you pray for deliverance. This psalm lets us know that the life of faith does not erase trial. That triumph and trial come to us regularly in this life, and to remind us that God is the constant. That miry bog in verse 2 comes to us all, but God is there. Loss and pain come to us, and like the commercial says, and I reference it often, life comes at you fast, and still God is there. And where can we show or share the joy and pain of our hearts? In songs. I don't know about you, but I listen to songs when I'm celebrating a win or when I'm trying to get it together to keep pushing forward. And that's what we're reflecting on today, the power of song, the power of a psalm. Yes, we have these 150 psalms, but also there are songs that are etched in our hearts, like the wonderful songs that we sang this morning. I'm just like, man, Toph, you're great. I would love hymns a lot more if I could hear them like that. Wouldn't you? You know, sometimes it can be a little, yeah. Anyway, that's just me. But during the text, there's a shift that happens from personal language to community language. Not just I waited patiently, but I shared the word in the great congregation. The person of faith, we just can't keep the good news to ourselves. We are tasked to share it with our communities. The good things that the Lord has done is not just for our personal consumption, but it's for sharing. It's for lifting up. And it helps to lift us up, but it helps to lift up others as well. And it helps to build what is called the beloved community. And the beloved community is what Dr. Martin Luther King, who we celebrate in this coming week, he talked about. And he wrote in a book in 1956, Facing the Challenge of a New Age, and it says, but the end is reconciliation. The end is redemption. The end is the creation of a beloved community. It is the type of spirit and this type of love that can transform opposers into friends. It is this kind of understanding and goodwill that will transform the deep gloom of the old age into the exuberant gladness of the new age. It is the love which will bring about miracles. And so we know that the beloved community, you know, it merges faith and action, and it cares about justice, but that justice begins with love and love of community. I remember the words of a pastor long ago when talking about evangelism, and he said, it's not about trying to convince the world to turn to Christ. It's about sharing with the world how convinced you are about what the Lord has done for you. And that is what compels the world. Christ says in red, if I be lifted up from the earth, then I will draw all unto me. This is our work as the faithful. In a world where the words Christian and evangelical have been, woohoo, yeah, it's a doozy. This is the way we make evangelism great again. God has brought me from the miry pit, set my feet upon a rock, gave me a great church, surrounded me with people who care about me, welcomed in the stranger because the stranger is not a stranger to God. I had a good day, or I had meals to eat, or I had heat. All these things are ways that we testify of the goodness of the Lord in community. And this is the way we love on God, to show God's love for us, and how we love one another. This is the work of evangelism. This is the art of testimony, and this is what creates the beloved community. One story at a time. Thanks be to God. Amen.